Path to Paradise, Road to Ruin. Written by Niole. Read by Hello Moon. Summary. A David Patrick tale inspired by Greek mythology. Hear a tale of what it means to trust your heart, of an artist and his love, a work of art, of a singer and a man who was a song, and the fears and frets that let it all go wrong. Here is a story first told way back when. It has much to teach when we tell it again. Where tragedies rise when minds lead us astray. A sad song it is, but we sing anyway. Of Patrick, the artist, his heart was so pure. His music was magic, his mind was unsure. His father was famous and famously sunny. Godlike, he attracted good fortune and money. Apollo and Calliope, world-adored band. His father and mother sang best hand in hand. He wasn't like them, though his talent shone bright. For him, nothing worthy was gained without fight. Apollo was free of cares, happy to trust. He'd revel in joy, leave the world to adjust. Patrick was cautious, made life more restrictive, knew that the world could be tricksy, vindictive. He studied the game, tried to master the rules. The gentle were often exploited for fools. His music would fade as he took up his books, for fine print and spreadsheets could guard him from crooks. And now hear of David, whose beauty was rare. He hated the vulgar and cherished the fair. With family fortune, he fancied fine things. His elegant hands displayed four silver rings. This all was a pretense, a shell prone to crack. To shield it, he painted it gray, white, and black. A cloaking of sweaters enshrouded his core, his own softness safe neath the armor he wore. Money and safety were always a given, ever well fed with a fine house to live in. He thought everything that he needed, he had. He wouldn't accept that his heart was yet sad. Alone in his bed, it would ache with desire. Thread count was high, but his heart's hopes were higher. He sought people out who could make him feel good. They'd ask him to give them the world, and he would. Our two lovers meet. David heard Patrick sing. Connection was instant, that magical thing. They saw in each other the spark of a flame. Their worlds far apart, but their souls were the same. But romance was hindered by issues of each. Attraction is easy, hearts harder to reach. Patrick too cautious to risk taking action. David believing that love meant transaction. Musicians are poor, David had to assume. So while Patrick studied, he shared David's room. More than trade, bed warmed for roof overhead. Love lived there too, but it had not been said. Our story starts into a storm David's tossed. Betrayed by his banker, his fortune is lost. With Patrick away on a trip for his class, alone David learns of the snake in the grass. Beloved belongings are taken away. His house repossessed, he'll have nowhere to stay. It's stunningly quick how his world crashes down, but left for him still is a deed to a town. Boxed up, he finds it and memories flood back from when as a teen he wore black, black, and black. The purchase was strange, they'd seemed eager to sell, but goth kids so rich can't resist buying hell. Part of the deed was an offer explicit, free bed and board if he ever did visit. The paperwork listed a number to call. It seems like a lifeline now, he's lost it all. He's desolate, desperate, it's all he's got left. Aside from his clothing, he's wholly bereft. Flexing his hands through his sweater's soft fabric, inside a voice begs him, but what about Patrick? Protecting that man was the source of his pride. What good could he be if he couldn't provide? It killed him to leave, but what else could he do? Patrick could easily find someone new. Dear Patrick, he wrote. Dearest, no, that's too much. The rest was composed with a cold, detached touch. He wrote out the truth and closed with goodbye, then kissed Patrick's name and let out a sigh. Resolved that he must go and do so alone, he folded the letter, then picked up his phone. Blocked Patrick's number to keep him from calling, closed his eyes tightly to keep tears from falling. Then taking a slow breath, he dialed Hell's line. The voice sounded crackled, but cheerfully benign. A pleasure to hear from you, holder of deed. He passed on directions that David would need. Alone at a dock, a rough ferryman waited, nodding as David, unsure, hesitated. Yes, I am your guide, if it's hell that you seek. We'll drift down the unlovely swamp that Styx Creek. He boarded the boat, and the journey was strange. He barely would blink, and the landscape would change. They stopped, and he clambered out over the bow. Time had to have passed, but he couldn't say how. No sooner he stood than he heard a call, Dave! It's David, he sighed, turned and saw a man wave. grotesque and giddy and void of all charm. Roland, he grinned as he clapped David's arm. So you own this place, huh? He sucked on his teeth, then wheezed a laugh. Damn, should have brought you a wreath. I'm the mayor, family title, no glory. Hades, our name, like the guy from the story. He winked as though this was a fun interaction. David winced, looking sideward for a distraction. That's not, he swept his hand where his eyes fell. The rundown old sign called it Hell's Own Motel. Your lodgings, monsieur? Yeah, chief, that's your new home. There's plenty to see, so, feel free to roam. His eyes went black, David's pressed shut, couldn't tell. Hades flung a key and smiled. Welcome to hell. Patrick's heart sank when the first phone call failed, and stayed in its pit till the truth was unveiled. In panic, he'd rushed home and found it stripped bare, all empty but for his guitar and his chair. He'd left it neglected so long since he'd played, yet salvaged by David from government raid. The letter upon it spelled out the sad tale, the naked walls echoed his weak, wretched wail. His heart began beating a low, quick tattoo. He knew there was only one thing he would do. He'd find this strange town to which David had fled. Trawling the web, he linked thread to dark thread. The motel was grimy and tacky and small. The state of the twin bed made David's skin crawl. With hands on his wide mouth, he felt his throat quake. He couldn't stay here. He'd made such a mistake. But efforts to reach out could make no connection, shut out from the wide world by dreadful reception. Panic arose and his breathing grew thinner. Then, shocked by a knock, he was summoned to dinner. Soon Roland's wife welcomed him to their house, bright flowers of spring on her synthetic blouse. Fair wavy hair bounced as she smiled with ease and served up an abomination of cheese. With Roland's foul coarseness and Jocelyn's sweet care, disturbing was David's first thought of the pair. But glances between them assured it was known that both were joined by love and by love alone. The sight of them made David's whole body itch, or was it the decor? He couldn't tell which. Inane, vulgar chattering made his head ache, uncertain how much torture he could take. But it would continue as night turned to day, and only grew stronger the longer he'd stay. He met still more townsfolk, and they showed him scorn, a fish out of water, alone and forlorn. Patrick discovered should something was weird, the rumors of once rich folk long disappeared, the claims that they'd purchased a deed to this place, but of hell no map showed so much as a trace. A man on a forum who called himself Ray claimed inside knowledge and had much to say of Hades, an unworldly, ego-led king who prided his realm and saw wealth as a sin. He'd dangle the deeds out like rich person bait. They'd all find it funny, which fed bitter hate. The gall of these rich folk to lay casual claim to one to own what to them was but a name. Patrick fears proven his love had been scammed, and based on this strange set of facts, he was damned. All he discovered grew darker and stranger. Not just gone, David was clearly in danger. His heart beat still stronger with furious blood, till all he could hear was an incessant thud. The sound stirred his soul in intense primal force. It took him a moment to realize its source. Long dormant, his music lay under his skin, now woken by need, crying out from within. Compelled so, he seized his guitar, firmly strummed, and sang to the beat that his desperate heart drummed. He stepped out the door of the home they had shared, knew no way to hell, but he did not feel scared. Inflamed so by love, urged by deepest despair, his music, by magic, would guide the way there. He cried, "Heaven help me, I'm going to hell." But help he'd long had it in the gift of art's spell. Melody made maps and rhythm revealed roads. Enemies and obstacles shrunk from love's odes. He sang of his David wherever he came. Each valley and forest would learn his love's name. Through oceans and puddles where wild water flows, each river and grove knows the name David Rose. So onward he journeyed, but gods know how long, the trees he passed growing along with his song. Crescendo met climax on cresting a hill. Bright sun warmed the peak, but he stilled with a chill. For here was the post of the three-headed snake. Its warning was rattled by menacing shake. A loyal pet serpent who guards this point well. Through him none has breached yet the borders of hell. But none had brought music to drown his vile hiss. The snake had not yet faced a magic like this. Enchanted, the dark birds which flew overhead soon silenced their own song to listen instead. The music he sang for them didn't use words. Fine lyrics don't mean much to snakes or to birds. Rather, they heard what his pure voice could do. Suffice it to say that it sounded like you. Enchanted by sweet tones, the snake slunk back down, and Patrick was free to descend to the town. The pull in his chest that had led to this place, now dragged him with haste to a door and a face. High brows of black framed a stare of pure awe, though lips open slack were what Patrick first saw. He turned his eyes up, and their shared gaze was fierce, enraptured in silence that David would pierce. "I'm sorry," was soft. "I'm so sorry," through tears. I don't blame you. I know all your fears. "Are you okay, David?" with earnest concern. A shaken, "No, why'd you come?" in return. "I love you." The word was consumed in a kiss, despair dissolving to sweet agonized bliss. As far as they had been, so near they were now, embraced in fierce closeness and sealed with that vow. "I love you," breathed David when finally they broke. "I love you," repeated, was all that they spoke. As knees buckled under and breath quivered quick, as pulses drummed thunder and sweat made skin slick, as desperate hands grasped and keen answers were found, as clashing chests gasped and impassioned hips ground, as sighs and shed tears melted into the bed, I love you," was all that they said. "Knock, knock," came a voice. There was a smiling man stood. He bent through the doorway. "Oh, here you are, good. So Roland will speak with you shortly, he knows. He'll see you at town hall. Door opened or closed?" Ray left, and in the lover stared, cheeks burning hot. "Wait, what's going on? Roland knows about what?" "Me, David. I'm guessing he knows that I'm here." "What?" "Kiss." "I know. Come, I'll make it all clear." In no time at all, they were facing the mayor. He smiled, but tension was crackling the air. "So, Pat, you've come to see our little nation. Strange, don't recall sending your invitation." He grimaced through words like his threats were but jests. "We don't take too kindly to unbidden guests." Bold Patrick stood firm, calmly started to speak. "I've not come to explore, only David I seek. If you give him leave, then we'll both be away." Roland laughed sharp. "That's so cute, but no way." "Then show me his deed, let me read it all through. I know how this works, I will bargain with you." "Try if you want," but he made his own choice. "Hi, what's going on?" came in David's high voice. Patrick breathed, "David," and reached for his hand. "There's something I don't think you quite understand. There's more to this town than what first meets the eye. You don't own a thing. What you signed was a lie. You're trapped here for torture so this man can revel. Hell is hell, David, and Hades the devil." Roland laughed. "Yeah, duh. Oh, wow, good on you. That last bit, though, that's not technically true. The devil's a different guy. Whole other book. But otherwise, whoa, Davy, what's with that look?"
"Oh, come on, Dave. Don't tell me you've been so blind. This hell for your elegant self was designed. All that you valued and all you despised were blueprints for building this world. You're surprised?
Those sweaters you fancy must weigh like a ton. They'd sure be more comfy if not for our sun. If you'd change, then maybe the seasons would too. See, time here is weird, and the reason is you. The moment you picked up the phone to come down, you settled your fate in this forsaken town. It's all for you and shall continue this way, till some other rich prick decides to come stay. And then you'll join in entertaining that guy, or woman, excuse me, I should clarify. Like Ronnie before you, oh, we had some fun. Yeah, she was real happy your turn had begun." David's hands trembled as Patrick held tight. "I've got this," he comforted. "We'll be all right. There's got to be some kind of loophole or flaw. I'll find something wrong that he cannot ignore." The contract was brought forth. He poured line by line, beheld with his own eyes that stylish rose sign. Alas, 'twas an order, each term had been named. Rash David's agreement alone could be blamed. He'd thought that this process would be their salvation. The day would be saved through his shrewd consultation. But rules that are written by evil can't fail. Its own weapons used in defense won't prevail. So Patrick sat, head in his hands, hope in shreds. The demons assembled laughed, shaking their heads. Jocelyn spoke, "Well, this seems a darn shame. I heard he played music real nice when he came. So how about he stays here and sings for a while?" Roland whined, "That's not as fun as exile." "Oh, Roly," she cooed with a laugh in her tone. "The puppy's in love. Why not throw him a bone?" "Ugh, fine, sing for us. If I like it, you stay. But let's make it fun. If I don't, let's say, your Dave can swap this hell for something more dire. Eternally burning in brimstone and fire." Patrick blanched. "No, that's not fair. Roland smirked. "It's a command, not a dare." David took Patrick's hands, nodded assent, and smiled. "I'm behind you, 100%. Then summoned by Hades, a crowd soon drew near. "Come stand with us, Davy," he bid with a sneer. Jocelyn called out, "Whenever you're ready." Patrick breathed roughly. His hands were unsteady.
He felt truly frightened. This all seemed so wrong. His bargaining chip, just the grace of his song. Not on his mind, on his art, their fate rested. He gripped his guitar and stood, scared to be tested.
He looked up and choked back a gasp of confusion, for Hades had conjured a taunting illusion. In vivid depiction of stakes in this game, his David appeared to be lit up in flame. Bright orange and yellow looked over his chest, where black, white, and gray alone ever did rest. A jest meant a torment, but not a wise choice. An artist's heart stirred simply spurs his best voice. Inspired and wired, Patrick started to sing. An angel on tongue muses on every string. Voice warm with softness and rich with emotion. Eyes on his subject with blazing devotion. The song was for David alone, basked in fire. The words Patrick sung told of love and desire. Repeating a phrase that spoke straight from his heart, he'd rather be dead than they be torn apart. As strains faded, Roland's round eyes were struck wide. A shared tear was shed by his wife at his side. Yes, Hades, who tortures those he stood above. The man was a fiend, but he recognized love. He too would take death to save his dear wife, were they to be bound to profane rules of life. He'd thought their love, so divine, was unique. He'd thought till now humans were simply too weak.
Wow, Roland chuckled. Well, way to go, pal. You want me to let you both go? Well, I shall.
The two lovers lit up, relieved and elated. Throughout the room, pure joy and hope radiated. But not all were happy their king had been moved. Ronnie, who had much to lose, disapproved. The way that he looks at him, though, it's obscene. Indecent for that kind of thing to be seen. Expertly, she makes it seem Roland's idea. One more of those looks and the tall one stays here. Free then to go, but with one out in front, a test of their trust and a fun little stunt. Agreement was made, though bizarre and absurd. No looking, nor touching, nor voice to be heard. Else David be damned once more, Patrick exiled. A contract was signed and officially filed. They both knew that David would not want to lead, so Patrick should guide if they were to succeed. Trusting his own heart had led him this far. This took trusting outward, beyond his guitar. To forge straight ahead without turning to look, he'd now need a page from his famed father's book. Okay, David, I will lead on, you can follow. Caution be damned, for us, I'll be Apollo.
Their journey would take them the way Patrick came. It's here that he learned the Green Hill had a name. Divided in space, but their efforts were joint, in the hike to Hell's border at Rattlesnake Point.
He took his first step, his eyes firmly ahead. The sounds all around him fell suddenly dead. Struck deaf for the walk, not a footstep was heard. A vulture cried hawkish, but needn't have stirred. Treacherous sticks paved the ground at his feet. He cleared as he walked. David's path would be neat. A wayward thorn sprang up and pierced his shoe. A cruel arrow pain shot his heart's resolve through. Were David beside him, the wound would grow small. He'd comfort him, carry him, help heal it all. Alone, pain is selfish, brings fear back to mind, and up crept the first thought of looking behind. It argued compellingly, clear and repeated, and wouldn't let up till all hope was defeated. In heavy, tense silence, his mind rang it loud. Too easy, this can't be allowed. He knew for a fact that his David would follow, but what good was that if the contract was hollow? Hades was tricksy, vindictive and sleazy. How could one song change his cruel mind so easy? He wouldn't just suddenly let them go free. There must be some catch Patrick couldn't yet see. A different reason to not look behind. If he stayed staring straight, what worse would he find? He knew how these things worked, these systems and deals. There's always some underhand turning the wheels. And yet he'd let hope free his mind of its rule, to be not exploited nor played for a fool. Too easy, it can't be allowed. Too easy, it can't be allowed. A trap, here his unheeded heart, for hope yearned. It must be, it's stupid to trust. So he turned. Convinced as he was that naught would meet his eyes, to see his fair David brought first fond surprise. A flash of pure sparkling bliss lit Patrick's gaze, till realization shot sharp through the haze. It flung his eyes wide and contorted his brow, his stare never fiercer than how it looked now. Expressive as ever, those artist's eyes spoke, describing the pain of his heart as it broke. Clean lips gasped a circle as if they'd been burned. The smile they had started has never returned. The look was exquisite, for better or worse. Alas, its existence alone was the curse. David's own gaze was of calm resignation, mere hints of tears on the cusp of formation. Patrick saw trembling through upper lip stiffness, stoic grief, and worst of all this, forgiveness. Then gone, disappeared, now more lost than before. Those helpless hands stretching toward his no more.
Along to the void fell his trod path and tracked. Intruders like Patrick would never get back.
So sadly, the tale ends with truth to impart. See, Ard had changed not Hades' mind, but his heart. And this Patrick learned, though too late, back above. Don't let it be lost that reminds you to love. Alas, when we love, we all face that same fear, which led Patrick to the sad fate we saw here. That love so sublime, it just cannot be true, that life would intend such a gift be for you. But truthfully, that's the one thing life intends. Love to and from us all, freely it sends. What keeps your gift from you is what's in your head, the thoughts you let fill you with worries instead.
But take heart, our world is not that of this tale. We have hope that in the end, our hearts won't fail. Rarely does one mistake part us forever. We can forgive and start over together.
And our hells, though hell they seem, truly are not. They're crucibles, changing us as they burn hot. We don't melt, but grow, and learn what most we need. We walk hand in hand, when from our hells we're freed.
Before we do part, if you're willing to stay. There is, I admit, still a touch more to say. Here, though I can't promise all this will mend, what's come of our artist since this story's end? Alone on the earth as he wandered again, Patrick, now wise, knew the place for his pain, embracing the risk for the chance to express. The sad songs he sang from his heart brought success. He sang pure as ever, but couldn't stand still. He chased down his fame with a ravenous will. And then, when the money exceeded some sum, he stopped and retreated from what he'd become. He vanished, indeed, like he'd wanted to hide, but truth could be found out if anyone tried. His history tells it, if you listen well. A search on this faded phrase, by deed to hell.